Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Welcome to episode 3 of Montessori Babies. I am so excited for this episode. It's a very special one to me, and you'll find out very soon why. This week, we're talking all about language. So language development, language acquisition, bilingualism, multilingualism. So there are so many subtopics within this topic of language development. But just to start, basically within the world of Montessori and the world of basic development, the two worlds fully support each other as far as language goes. And I actually obtained my Montessori training prior to my degrees in development. And when I was learning, it was really cool to know that Maria Montessori promoted a lot of the same ideas and concepts that really help optimize our babies and toddlers' earliest years as far as language goes. And, you know, it's cool. And if you consider, you know, where they're at in their brain, all of these tips that we're going to be talking about in just a second, all of those really, really help optimize that foundation that'll set them up for later on. And it holds so true in this language sense. So I am so excited about our episode. Like I was mentioning, we have an interview today. I have a very, very special guest with me who is trilingual in Spanish, French, and English. In addition, he attended La Universidad Complutense in Madrid, Spain, and he also attended La Sorbonne in Reims, France. Graduate studies in sociolinguistics took him to the University of Southern California, so USC. He has extensive teaching experience. He started his teaching career as a professor at Cal State Fullerton. He was also an adjunct professor at Fullerton College, Cypress College, and he taught high school for many, many years. So he has many years of teaching experience and all within the world of language. I'm very honored to have him today. His name is Carlos Solorsino, and he also happens to be my dad. So I'm really excited for this. I grew up with a lot of focus on language, reading, you know, being spoken to in multiple languages. So I'm excited to ask a lot of very specific questions that hone in on infancy and toddlerhood and really how those years of language acquisition and language development affect reading, language, all of that later on. So happy to have you here.
I'm very happy to be here with you tonight, Bianca. I would love to share all that I can with you regarding language development.
Yay, I'm so excited. Okay, so I have a bunch of questions for you. You know, I want to pick your brain on what is the world of language development. So
wonderful.
So I figured we would start, you know, just kind of with the basics, with what is language development? Where does it come from? Where does it start?
Well, first of all, I'd say that we're very blessed as humans to be able to communicate through language, through sounds. And there are a lot of different approaches as far as language development is concerned. What's called the natural approach, naturally how languages do develop. And regardless of the language, it could be from any culture, any land, there's a certain sequence that always happens. There are four parts to the languages: listening, speaking, reading, and writing. And it's a natural sequence. It's called the natural approach to language development. And we do that when we're children. We're there as babies listening to our parents. Hello, how are you? And we're just listening. And we're receiving all the sounds and making sense over weeks and days, weeks and months of these sounds. And then we start to produce sounds, boo, boo, repeating the sounds, boo, 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 mama, mama, blah. And take a couple of years. And then all of a sudden we're introduced to a pen or a crayon. And we're able to, oh, that symbol represents m. Or d. And so all of those four components, listening, speaking, reading, and writing, are essential. I mean, the order is essential for very, very effective language. Now I'm going to say language acquisition, which is what it's about. It's acquiring an additional skill in our essence and who we are.
I mean, it's really cool that as humans we're able to have that layer of intricate communication, and we're able to come into this world as tiny humans with the technical term of making synapses or mental connections about our language, about our world, and how language really strengthens that brain development and the ability to learn overall. One thing that I definitely want to ask is, I mean, we can kind of come to our own assumptions, but why is it important? Why is language important? Why is language development important? And then, you know, focusing on infancy and toddlerhood, what can we do, you know, to enhance that, to really optimize that, to set them up, you know, as a strong foundation for success later on?
Well, going back to our first days and weeks of life, when I was mentioning as far as just the sound system, the sounds and expressing these sounds through, you know, through mom and dad talking to the babies, singing was essential. Singing is so important way in the beginning because, once again, that's the exchange of sounds to the child. And when children are young, out of love, children, the parents will obviously speak as much as they can, sing as much as they can, perhaps not even realizing how important it is as far as their overall development over the years and how it will affect their future life in school and elsewhere. And so it's always, and it always will be important, vitally important. The beauty is that language development has nothing to do with our culture, who we are, where we came from, because a human being, if we could hear the sounds, we could repeat the sounds. If we, assuming we have all our faculties, our lips and the palate and everything that, that produces sound, the sounds, our teeth.
But one of the things I actually learned when I was studying is that some things like breastfeeding and bottle feeding, they strengthen muscles in your face that are essential for language, you know, stuff like that, which is, it's everything kind of works together and it's all very purposeful, but it's just so cool that we come preparing and then ready to acquire our language.
The words that are very similar but different in its explanation is the word learning. When do people learn? But some educators, some linguists will say, no, when, as a child, you acquire a language. We don't learn it. We acquire it. It becomes part of us. Mm-hmm. But later in life, people will learn other languages. And over time, that's how they're able to become bilingual or trilingual. They acquire that. Now, all the years that I taught at the college level, I used to tell students, your biggest challenge is that you're an adult and you can work on a computer. You're smart. You know how to do magic things on that computer, but you don't want to make a mistake. Mm-hmm. And therein lies the difference between a natural approach, the acquisition of a language, and learning a language. Now, when I would tell the students, you're going to make a mistake. Just accept it. It's okay. It's not passing judgment on anybody. Because when we were little babies, if we looked at a flower and said, bottle, a bottle, the parents said, no, honey, that's a flower. Oh, okay. But as an adult, if you make a mistake in a class and you say something wrong, you feel bad, you feel inhibited, and and so therein lies
the
difference.
Yeah, there's a social component to it, yeah.
When the person realizes, I'm going to acquire this.
Yeah.
And it changes their frame of mind, their attitude, their how they approach it.
So when would you say that language development begins, and when is it important to start focusing on it?
Well, language development, the language is being developed from day one, or in mom. Oh, it's developing there. True. Now, over the years, obviously, so many parents will enhance the development by speaking, constantly speaking adult language, meaning everyday language. And I know some parents speak baby talk, which is okay. That's their choice. That's fine. So it was teaching you guys at a very early age what the words were, the reality of it. This is what it is.
Yeah, okay? That's actually, it's also Montessori. That's something that we learned in our Montessori training, as well as in when I was studying development. That's one of the areas where the two worlds really support in both of those. They basically said, just talk to them, you know, the fluctuations and, you know, hi, how's it going? You know, that kind of stuff. Of course, we're going to talk like that. And actually, babies are very attracted to that. But things like baby words or making up things or that kind of thing, I learned that in both, to just talk to them and just show them the word of what it is. Yeah.
You see, once again, the language acquisition and language development and the natural approach. You see, I humbly say that I'm able to communicate in three different languages. However, growing up, My parents, they spoke Spanish. Spanish was spoken in the house. It was, and both languages were spoken in the house. And they were the oldest of all their siblings. So they were more, I'm saying, more communicative in the Spanish language than some of their younger brothers and sisters.
One of the things that I learned is that when a baby is learning their language, they're using their entire brain to learn it. They're making mental connections. They're using their entire brain, and it's growing and it's becoming a part of their foundation. And when you acquire or learn language as an adult, you're using, I believe it's the left hemisphere, and it's a whole different means of learning it. You're reading, you're focusing, but you know, whereas a baby can come in and they're just absorbing, they're just making so many connections, and they are born with the ability to do that, which is really amazing. One thing to focus on. So from 0 to 3, from birth, actually utero, but birth to 3, they're making connections about their world. They're making a ton of mental connections. And language is a huge foundation for how they will be able to learn. And all of the words that they know, and basically 0 to 3, you're absorbing. Once 3 happens, 3 to 6, at 3, babies and toddlers, they go through what's called pruning, which is where you lose the mental connections, the synapses that aren't used. And so we really have endless capability from birth to 3 as far as language goes. And that's why it's so important to talk to them as much as you possibly can, read to them as much as you possibly can, sing to them as much as you possibly can, because there's this just window of opportunity to give them a foundation that will set them up for success later on.
Now, growing up, your mom spoke to you in English. I spoke to you in Spanish. And when the doctor was told that you were exposed to both languages, the doctor wanted to console us and say, well, she might not be able to have the appropriate number of words as other children. I said, oh, okay. And we started to count all the words. You had double in both languages, double the amount. And the doctor was just amazed. And of course, tore up his documents and said, no, that doesn't work. I spoke with a linguist one time, a speech therapist. And I said, give me some advice. One day, if I have a kid or when I have a kid, I'd like to teach them another language. And I was told, and especially for people in the world that speak two languages, or the mom and dad speak different languages, whatever you speak, speak it in complete sentences all the way to the period. For example, I am going to the store versus voy a ir a la, to the store. Voy a ir a comprar bread and milk and cheese. Okay, and not mix it all up, because if you do, you're going to mix up your kid. So I made it a point always only to speak to a complete sentence. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that that's really good info to have. As far as the bilingual conversation, in my work, I've gotten that question a lot. Kind of like you mentioned, the doctor said there may be some language delays. That's actually something that was believed up until recently, that if you spoke multiple languages to your baby or your child, they may begin to speak later. Their words may come out later because they're learning more, right? That was the idea. But recent research has just blown that away, because our babies, they have really endless capability from birth to 3 as far as learning about their world, language being one of those things. I watched an amazing TED Talk by Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, where she described language acquisition, or language nutrition, as she called it, as the key foundation for all learning. A few things that she said really stuck with me in her talk. One of them was that before third grade, you learn to read, and after third grade, you read to learn. That entire talk really focused on birth and what's happening just there, shortly thereafter, in the brain, and how the capabilities are really endless, and that really optimizing every opportunity by speaking with your child constantly. If you're a new parent hoping to implement Montessori at home, you may be surprised to know that you will be spending the majority of your days fostering independence with your baby. Yes, even more than the Montessori toys, materials, activities, and furniture that you see on social media. And fostering independence is the easiest and quickest way to transform your parenting experience, bringing peace to your parenting as you optimize your baby's growth during their most crucial years of development. Plus, fostering independence is the most misunderstood Montessori concept for babies. That is why I am teaching my Montessori workshop on fostering independence from infancy to toddlerhood. In this 30-minute workshop, you will learn what it truly means to foster independence the Montessori way, plus you'll get the exact steps on how to foster independence with our non-mobile babies, our sitting, slithering, crawling, and cruising babies, and our young toddlers. This workshop is usually $9, but because my goal is to support you as much as possible, I am gifting it to you totally free. So if you're ready to transform both your experience and baby's experience during their most crucial time in their developmental journey, click the free workshop link in the show notes. And now back to our show. And so this kind of segues into my next question for you, which is, what tools or things or ideas or suggestions do you have for parents and teachers to optimize language development from day one?
You see, with all of us, all humans, the human being needs to be extremely at ease and have a very loving environment for growth of all kinds, emotional growth, physical, all phases of the human being. Now, one additional suggestion that in addition to lovingly to talk to the babies, to read every day to the babies, and to read with emotion and passion. No, not to read in a boring way, to have both parents read, and very animated, as if the child is watching TV, okay? Now, but in addition, and we've already talked about music, how important that is, but another thing about music, which is interesting, and not just singing, but there's a certain type of music, and that is, there's a technique called sugestopedia. This study came out in 1975, 76, which is the playing of classical music, Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, Handel. And the reason is because the music itself is at a certain, I'm going to say, vibration. It's at a certain hertz, okay? It's at 432, which is the perfect harmony for development. And I did experiments with this when I taught at Cal State Fullerton, when I taught at another school. And you can't compare one class to another class because there are too many variables, different people. But still, the classes that had classical music being played at a low level performed much higher and just advanced more rapidly than the other classes. Once again, there are a lot of anomalies. You can't compare it exactly, but it was very effective. And so that's why you'll see, you know, parents putting like a microphone, not a microphone, but something on the mom's belly with classical music, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. But there's a reason because of that, the hertz, H-E-R-T-Z, you know, it's a certain vibration.
That's really cool. Yeah, I did. I also read something very similar about the effects of classical music on learning and ability to learn, and it's really positive and super beneficial. So as far as the families that are listening who do want to speak or say they both have different native tongues, do you have any tips for multilingual households?
Well, getting back to the parents, and some parents, I mean, they mean well, they love their children. But the other thing, at such an early age, it's very tempting to always correct the children. And I would suggest no. Just let that child express themselves or herself as often as he or she can. And over time, the human being has what is called an affective filter. We know when we say something incorrectly. We know it. Even as an adult, all of us are guilty of saying something and our brain would say, uh-oh, that was wrong what I said.
Yeah.
We know that. Mm-hmm. So as a child, if people are constantly saying that, you know, you didn't say it like that. No, that child will close up.
Yeah.
And will not develop how it should, how he or she should develop.
So you're saying just model as much as possible. Just mm-hmm. speak correctly, and give your child.
You can repeat it.
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, for example, a child in English will hear the word, I worked. ED at the end. I talked. Okay. You don't have to tell them, oh, that's the past tense of some verb. Okay, no, they don't need to know any of that. But they hear that their ear will pick it up. And so they'll say, I cooked. And then they'll go play outside with their parent. Mom, Dad, I throwed the ball. Okay. And little kids will say, I throwed it. Now, instead of suggesting, no, honey, don't say that. This is how you're supposed to say it. I threw it. Say, no, you have to say that. You threw the ball. I throwed it too. No, I threw it. I threw the ball. I threw it. Yes. Did you throw it? You threw it. Very good. There's a natural way just to correct them without making them feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. That actually kind of correlates with positive parenting as well. Not necessarily any means of correction, just explaining and expressing and modeling how to use something, which is awesome. Do you have any other, tips or suggestions on, language development, language acquisition?
In today's society, my only suggestion to all parents, read to your child. Read to your child every day. And I know, and I see it, we all see it. The kid, they're just looking at a video, looking at a phone, and not engaged with the parent at all. But that video game or that toy, I'm going to say, it will not enhance their language development at all whatsoever. But
yeah, yeah. I know that there are definitely moments where, of course, things need to get done and that kind of thing. I do know that, and we'll get into the screen time talk at a later time for sure. But basically, as far as language and language development, we do need to touch on screen time because it's really impossible for babies to learn language through the television, babies to learn language through the television. And that's because they learn through the back and forth interaction. They learn through those serve and return experiences. And so as much as possible, just talking to them, sports casting, modeling language, I would just do that as much as possible just because it's an awesome window of opportunity in infancy and in toddlerhood to really enhance their language development. There's such a great opportunity having a baby and a toddler, and knowing what's going on in their brain at that time. They really just have endless capability as far as their learning ability. And so, yeah, just speak to them as much as you possibly can, read to them, sing to them. This next segment, I definitely want to, head into the Montessori ideas. I know a lot of this conversation is very standard the way we develop. And I will just say, when I was getting my Montessori training, we focused so much on language acquisition and then how to optimize it and support it through Montessori and through that lens. And so that's what I'm going to help you do as well. In Montessori, they say a lot of the same things. They say, just really, really talk to your baby, model, correct language, sports cast. So for those of you who don't know, sports casting is essentially where you are talking and saying everything that you're doing. So, giving the example of going to change a diaper. Oh, I see, or I smell that you pooped. I'm going to pick up your body. Let's go walk over to the changing table. And then I sang all day long too. So I would say things like, you're going to change your diaper, as we're walking over to the changing table. And then you lay them down. You literally tell them, oh, I'm going to lay your body down. All right, I'm going to undo your straps. Okay, I'm opening your diaper. Would you like to choose a diaper? That kind of thing. So you're getting them involved. You're talking to them. You're interacting. That's that serve and return type experience. That's how they're learning. That's how they're enhancing their language development. That is one easy and free way to really give them a great foundation and set them up for lots of great learning opportunities later on. And then also another way to enhance their language development is through rhythmic language. So things like poetry, reading really beautiful rhythmic books, that kind of thing. Babies are very attracted to the fluctuations in voice. So, even though we don't necessarily recommend shifting words to something they're not, like baby talk and that kind of thing. Again, if that's something you like to do, that's totally your choice. But just what we would suggest is talking in as full language as possible so they have the opportunity to learn it. And then really just still doing the, hi, how's it going? I see you're wearing a blue shirt today. That's such a nice light blue, stuff like that where you're fluctuating your voice, you're engaging them in conversation. And then, of course, there are a lot of Montessori language materials and opportunities we have to put on their shelf. You can do things like various language cards in infancy and toddlerhood. They typically don't have the words on them, although it's totally okay if that's what you have. And that's because we focus on correlating the spoken word to the item. So whether it's the photo or the figurine or, you know, the known object that they're manipulating with their hands, that kind of thing. You can even do something really simple, like get a small basket, collect kitchen spoons, various kitchen spoons, put them in that basket and put it on their shelf. And then when they pull it off their shelf, you name them, you talk to them about it. You say, oh, this is a ladle. This is a spatula. You know, this is a mixing spoon. This is a spaghetti spoon, you know, and all of that they're associating. These are similar objects, which is a very Montessori thing. You want to help them categorize, but also give them the words, give them the language. And then you have a Montessori language lesson right there, right out of your kitchen drawer. So anyway, so I hope this, you know, language conversation with my dad was so helpful. I know he's always my go-to when I have questions about various topics within the world of language. There's so much. So I'm really grateful that we had him here, and I'm sure we'll have you back at some point. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks again for tuning in. Stay tuned for next week's episode. Bye. Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of Montessori Babies. If you'd like to support your baby's earliest and most important years the Montessori way, I have a totally free masterclass that teaches the 6 essential steps to begin Montessori with your baby that gives you the exact, seldomly spoken about steps that I created after over a decade working with Montessori babies, families, and caregivers. You can register via the link in our show notes or in my bio on Instagram at Baby Tour Guide. Also, if you're enjoying my podcast, I would absolutely love if you'd leave a review to help other parents and caregivers find and join our community. Thanks again for listening to Montessori Babies, and I'll catch you in our next episode. Bye!